get an update on strategic planning process. That's sort of become a staple of our big tent committee meetings. I'm hoping not to have anybody go through it piece by piece. We'd rather have us have a conversation. But the big thing is that this thing is going to be daylighted to the full commission and the public on Friday, I believe, either Friday or Saturday. So there's really no reason for us to just, you know, repeat the same presentation over and over. So on that, what I'm hoping for is a progress report from Jeff or whomever, sort of the recent places that people have interacted with the report, the responses, which are important, and actually the ones that I've heard are pretty consistent. And then the schedule for getting this thing done. So that's number one on the agenda. Number two on the agenda is a discussion about our policies in general. And I'll save that, but I tried to do something that I said I'd do, which is look at a conservation or principles of governance policy. And as I was doing that, I had some thoughts that I don't have any reaction to at all, but I'd like to actually just ask some questions and discuss with you. It will be a short agenda item. And the third one will be to ask the members of the committee if there's anything that we need to talk about other than these two things. Are we neglecting anything? Because if not, we probably will sort of settle down and not have big tent committee meetings for a month or two. So that's today's agenda. It could happen quickly or not, depending on the rest of you. And does anybody have anything to add before we begin? I don't have the hand raise thing. Nikki, can you help me with that? I'm on a tablet.
Yeah, no one's raised their hands, and Jeff's here. So
Jeff, did you hear any of that?
Yeah, I heard the end.
Okay, so the way we're going to begin this meeting is rather than go through the whole nother sort of original presentation of the strategic plan, we'd like you or somebody else, whomever you prefer, to give us a progress report, tell us what's been going on with us, give us the highlights of what's currently enclosed or included in the plan. I'd like to hear a bit about community responses, and then we're going to talk about the schedule. So how does that all sound?
Sounds good.
Okay, well, take it away then.
Okay, so Rob, maybe you can tag team with me. So where we are, we've got the public draft out that was posted 2 days ago, but became more prominently notified yesterday with a press release. And my understanding is we're moving that to the front web page. It was posted, but it was back in the administrative page, so it took a couple clicks to get to it. And Carrie's moving that to the main website now, or did yesterday. So it's out to the public. As you all know, we sent it to the commission last Friday. We are in the process of also sending it to tribal leaders and natural resource directors, as well as our state and federal agency partner for review and comment. Bless you, Nate. So we're in it. We got a 30, you know, we're planning for a 30-day public review and comment. We're coming to the full commission tomorrow to present to you in more detail the process at a high overview, and then highlighting some of the key components in the plan so that the full commission can kind of all be caught up to speed. We're planning that presentation for about 15, 20 minutes or so. We want to keep it short, concise, and hopefully compelling. That will allow some time for us to have a conversation with the commission if there's any questions or feedback at that time, and then allow for the first public comment period on the plan. As you all know, there's been many folks in the public through our advisory committees, and through our interviews with stakeholders and staff. So this has been out in some components of the public for a while. The iterations of the plan have been. So we do think that there will likely be folks that want to weigh in tomorrow in public testimony about the plan. So I would expect the things, maybe speaking to the community, what we've heard, a lot of support, a lot of excitement about the plan. I think a lot of that excitement comes from what we have historically non-traditional people. And so that's the conservation and environmental organizations that the agency has worked with. There's been some, well, I'll just highlight, there's a need for us to have some more in-depth conversations with hunters and anglers around how a more robustly funded and having more people under our tent can benefit the things that they're interested in, like hunting and fishing opportunities and the quality of those experiences. So we have been getting some feedback around that. And then you might hear commercial fishermen who some submitted some very helpful, constructive comments. And some are just really like, this strategic plan is the last nail in the coffin because they have an impression that the department doesn't care about commercial fishing. And I think that's more personality driven maybe than it's just adding to the, maybe the Columbia River stuff. So, you know, and you guys are the leaders of the agency in setting policy. What I'm really trying to navigate here is that the strategic plan doesn't get sucked into the allocation war vortex. Because I think that stalls it out and just exacerbates that conflict and has the potential to further alienate the people that we're trying to bring into the tent. A lot of support for the reconnecting with the communities, a lot of support, as you all know, for how do we get youth more involved. So I think we're down a good path. There's also some space, I think, when we get public comments in to incorporate those public comments into the next plan that hopefully you'll be able to adopt in August. Another key process step. So we did kind of our best effort as a small strategic planning team on the performance measures. What we are doing now is in recognition that we were, that those were the last things that we were working on, and it was just a smaller team trying to insert those as, you know, not as a placeholder, but as an initial start in the draft plan. And now we're getting some internal staff focus groups to sit down with us and really start to chisel away at those performance measures to perfect them. And we're trying to make sure that those focus teams are diverse so that, you know, we understand if I'm a recreational salmon fisherman, we have staff in there that understand what's important to them so that our performance measures are not just informing us on the inside, but also reflecting how we're doing that externally to the people that we serve. Let's see, process steps. After tomorrow, then there's another public hearing, I think at your July commission meeting. And then we're really looking for an August adoption of the final plan. So we'll be working over the next month as comments come in to refine the next version that we'll put in front of you. And hopefully things will go really smoothly. Rob, I think maybe at this time, if you don't mind pulling up your screen and maybe highlighting the key components of the plan so people can see that structure and kind of the things that have changed. And then Barbara, I don't know if this is a place where you want to pause before Rob does that and see if people have questions about the process or comments or concerns.
Yes, I would like to pause and ask that question. The commissioners on this committee aren't particularly shy. So if you do have questions along the way, please just butt in. But so let's just ask the question for formality's sake. Does anybody have a comment or a question before we go to a hopefully short overview of the actual plan itself? Brad, you're on mute.
Okay.
There you
go. World wants me on mute, I guess. Always. But you mentioned the personality-driven ones. Is that a whole lot, or is that just a few personality drivers?
It's that's not a dig on the folks that are commenting. I think that some people, you know, there's like the Irene Martins of the world who are very thoughtful and constructive with their comments. And then there's some people that are just, you know, it's their livelihoods at stake and they've been feeling the pressure for a really long time and their patients are out. So I think it's just a couple people.
Okay. That's all I wanted to know. Just, yeah, thanks.
Anybody else? Okay, go ahead. Don, did I see your hand up?
Yeah, let's see if I'm unmuted here. There we go. Just to follow up on that, because I did get a call from Irene Martin as well, and her concern was something along the lines of there hasn't been much commercial fishing industry involvement, and the word commercial fishing, if you do a word search, doesn't show up as much as sport fishing and hunting and some of the other activities. I don't know if she said it doesn't show up at all. But anyway, I wonder, Jeff, if you could speak to that concern that there hasn't been very much involvement from commercial folks. And what if they say at this early stage, here's something we'd like in there for some sort of acknowledgement of commercial fishing as an RCW obligation. Is that something that at this point, since it's out for public review, is going to be changed, if it should be, even until next August? Or so I guess there's two questions there. Is that accurate to say there hasn't really been much commercial fishing involvement or content in the strategic plan if you do search through it? And what if they do say, we'd like two more sentences in there? Is that something they just have to, we as a committee and the commission as a whole would save a decision on that until August?
Well, thanks for that question. Irene pointed out the pages where commercial fishing is mentioned. I don't know that you'll find commercial rec or even hunting in very many places, because we talk about it, not with the commercials, but with hunting and fishing, recreational hunting and fishing as outdoor recreation. That said, yes, I need to digest comments more. There was one commercial person who said, just throw out the whole plan. Commercial fishermen weren't part of, weren't involved enough early on in the drafting of this. And there's that balance that I was trying to articulate earlier, that if you go too far, now you have the whole strategic plan held hostage between the rec and commercial allocation war. And so I'm trying to navigate that. One comment that's a no-brainer to put in the next version of the plan is the role that our commercial fishing industry plays in feeding Washington residents that don't fish or hunt on their own. And so I do think that there's a couple sentences that are pretty easy to throw in the next version. And then, as you all know way better than I, whenever you say commercial industry, and pretty soon you got some of the other industries that support recreational angling saying, well, we're commercials too. And so I'm really trying to how do I not find myself in your shoes on the Columbia with this strategic plan wrapped around my neck? So yes, short answer, we will be throwing more words in there to describe the role that our commercial fishing industry plays, both from a fish, but also I think it would be prudent for us to talk about the shellfish side as well.
Okay, let me also just say, I think we ought to stay further away from anything that has to do with allocation between commercial and sport than we're trying to stay away from this virus. I mean, we should welcome the virus compared to how far away we should stay from allocation.
Social distancing should be 6 miles.
Yeah, 6 miles. Not allowed to put on a page.
Yeah, and we don't say allocation in any of this because, yes, we're mindful of that. However, as you know better than I, as soon as you start talking about one, then it's like, yeah, but we're more important. And pretty soon the root cause is the lack of, you know, the ESA constraints and the lack of the opportunity. And that pretty soon, you know, it's a slippery slope into allocation and who's more important to the agency and what does the RCW really say? And it's just a mess.
Well, that's why we have somebody of your smoothie talents to make sure that does not happen. My question though was, you said we would be putting something in there about commercial fishing at some point. So are you talking about adjusting the public review draft, or do you mean right before August, or do you mean at the August meeting, or when would any changes from this public review draft be shown? Not tomorrow, I presume, but anyway, when?
Yeah, no. So what we're going to do, our intention is to, we're going to have public comments coming in over the next month. And so what I don't want to do is have version control issues by making adjustments and then sending out another version will frustrate our public in a millisecond. So maybe more precisely that we would get to your August meeting. We will have released the next version before you have to vote to adopt it prior to your August meeting so the public could see the changes that we have made.
Okay, so Jim has a question.
Yes, thank you. While I'm not on the committee, I appreciate the opportunity to ask a question. The just quick one is the August meeting the late July or is the August meeting in September? It seems that kind of stupid, but I'm not sure we actually have a August meeting, do we? I think we start in July.
Yeah, I think it's like a July 30th, 31st, and August 1st. So August 1st.
Okay, so it would be that meeting.
Yes.
Okay. The question I have is one about the use of the strategic plan in operational sense going forward. And already just in the past couple of days in various presentations and emails, I've seen the reference to the use of the strategic plan as a guidance, as a decision, not a decision-making document, but an element by which decisions would be reviewed. And in particular, there's a grazing presentation that we'll get to see in a couple of hours, and it makes reference to the strategic plan. There has been a press release, at least with regard to the budget and budget decisions, making reference to the strategic plan. And I know we're not even to the point where we have this strategic plan, and it's probably more forecasting of how to approach it. But my concern gets into the fact that we were picking some of the new critical elements going forward with this document. And there's a core of the department's mission that doesn't get as much time, if you will, in this document because it's more forward looking. And so my concern remains, I've said it before, is how do you make sure that we have this kind of full understanding of the department's mission and the like when we're making decisions. And then finally, I think it's important that the documents that do go out during this period of time certainly are really careful about how they're characterizing the use of strategic plan, or we may send people off into places that you know they wouldn't normally go with their thoughts. Okay.
Yeah, thanks for that. That's something that keeps coming up, and I think when you see things internally that reference the strategic plan, I'm gonna try to be concise here. The way the agency, at least in my 20-year career here, have used strategic plan is we throw everything that we do into it, and we call it a strategic plan, which is not really the definition of strategic plan. So how I think about this is, really what we're trying to do is the things that aren't in there are the things that we have historically prioritized. That's not to say that the new plan is deprioritizing those things, but I can tell you that there's a long history of social, political, and economic support for hunting and fishing in the state of Washington. For example, it is so much easier to get hatchery funding or another staff person to monitor fisheries than it is to get an HPA compliance inspector. And so really the intent here is we're not walking away from our foundation of hunting and fishing. The plan articulates how we're going to bring more people under the tent and bolster our work to make the work that we have been doing much more effective. And this is a space where I referenced early on in the conversation that we need to talk more about with our hunters and anglers. Like I know Kelly's been having conversations with some of his hunting folks and they're saying, well, we don't see that our hunting opportunity is gonna get any better by bringing more people under the tent. And so I'd love to sit down with those folks and have a conversation, share. I think that that's not true, not gonna be true. Because if more people know about the department and support more resources going to the department for the services that we do and the value that we do provide to the community, well, that makes our money go even further. That means our license revenue goes even further. That means we can do more forest health treatments. And that certainly, I hope hunters understand how that would be a benefit to improving game populations, as an example. And on the salmon side, quite frankly, all the citizens of Washington State have some sort of impact on whether or not we can recover or improve natural origin stocks. And that's one of our limiting factors on our ability to catch more of our hatchery fish. So hopefully that helps. And we're trying to navigate that, Jim, with how do we put the right mix of words in there and not go over the top, because we're also sensitive to the conservation folks and environmental groups, not just saying, see, we told you they're just a hunting and fishing club.
So let's see. Jim, sorry. I
understand that, and I think it's important that we just continue to have this front and center, because I think that's the crux core difficulty we're going to have in sharpening up arguments, and having that will be important. I just do think we need to be careful about how things are shorthanded when there's press releases or communications, because it gets you right there in a hurry just looking at it. Like, we're going to compare like grazing on department lands to the strategic plan. Well, how does that relate to maybe historical practices or other things that the department has committed to with regard to those lands in the past? And in particular, I'm talking about, it was in reference to, I think, wolf livestock interface. And so, I mean, it's not a hunting issue per se, but more of a conflict perhaps with traditional views of the department. Okay.
So, Kim, I hear that your hand is up. Kim?
I'm unmuting myself. Thank you. Thanks. I think this is a great conversation. Thanks for the presentation. And I'll just say I've been really impressed with the team's work, the strategic team's work, and how responsive you've been to the vast amount of input that you've gotten. And I'm sure as we move forward with the public that you'll show the same kinds of skills. As I listened to Jim, I have had, especially in the last week or so, seeing strategic plan written into some of our presentations and everything, have had the same concerns or thoughts. The discussion about the allocation war certainly has raised that as well. And where it sort of lands is scarce resources and how we're going to divide them up. And one of the things that the strategic plan recognizes is the importance of partnerships. As we become more articulate about our work in the realm of conservation, and partnerships are really resources. And I would just suggest as we move forward in looking like, you know, are we taking on whole new books of work? And does that threaten our limited resources directed toward our traditional constituents? That we learn how to emphasize that partnerships are our resources and allow us to expand the work that we do. And we're not taking it all on ourselves, for example. Just a thought.
So this is Barbara. I'd like to weigh in here just for a second. First off, a correction. Because it is so important that we get so much, we get public input and lots of time to consider it, from anyone who wants to input, we've got two commission meetings in which we're going to have a spot on there for strategic planning and public input. That's in addition, of course, to the regular written public input and the outreach that Jeff and Nate and the team, Rob, they're doing. So we are getting as much public input as we can. I assume somebody's cataloging that. If not, I am going to ask that, not that we catalog it comment by comment like we were doing on the Wolf SEPA review, but we'd like to know as we go through these updates what the responses are and how they are sort of categorized. That helps us. But we're not going to vote on this at the August or end of July, early August meeting, because that's another time when we're going to be having public input. We will need to process that. And it is in that time frame, after the last, after the second commission meeting, and up until what I'm looking at is having a vote on this, whether the commission can adopt the final plan on the 21st of August, which is a conference call. We may or may not get there then. It is in that time frame, after we've heard from our public, after we've basically sunk this in ourselves and talked to our own people that we talk to in our communities, regions basically, that's where we can start to make hopefully minor changes if they're necessary, because we're the ones who are going to have to vote on this thing, whether we adopt this as a sort of very, very different way for the department to go. And the very different part is looking ahead for 25 years and trying to set up a system, trying to look at what we do differently so that in 25 years there's fish for anglers and elk for hunters and land for the rest of the different ways that people recreate. That's the point of this. And so it certainly isn't to get into those allocation wars. I sat on that salmon call for 5 hours yesterday and thought, good God. I mean, we are still fighting the same battles that we have since I've been on the commission. So that's the difference. We're going to take a couple of months now to get more public input, have this thing be as organic as possible, coming from the ground, listening to everybody who will talk, and then we're going to have to at some point spend some time, probably longer than 45 minutes, ourselves going through it and making it understandable and real to the rest of the commission. We're going to have to do that because we have to support this by a vote. So that's what I have to say about that. Anybody else? Don.
Thank you. So just to clarify what you're saying there. So over the summer, we'll get some public comment tomorrow. Over the summer, there'll be a lot of public comment. Toward the end of July, the staff is going to review that and come up with a new draft, as I understand it, that incorporates their perspective on what they've heard from the public that warrants changes in the document. That new draft would then be released for public review just before July and August. We'd take public comment on that next draft at that July 31st, August 1 opportunity, but make no decision, and then consider a decision on August 21st on the webinar, where there would not be any public comment. And that's what you're saying?
Well, I'm saying something close to that. I think that the staff will be improving this document as we go along. And there may be things that are raised that this draft will get, I believe, tweaked. There won't be any hard right turns. So the draft that we see and hear about in tomorrow may be slightly different than the draft that we see and hear about at the end of July. And I don't know how it'll be different, but I don't want to straitjacket progress being made in between there. And then we will get a hold of this thing and say, I mean, I hope since this is such a ground up process and it is such a paradigm shift, to overuse a metaphor, that we don't have any hard right turns or allow any of the battles that have been fought for 50 years to interject themselves, because we've been supportive of this effort and the way it's being done since our first meeting over a year ago. But that could happen. If that happens, we figure it out then. There's no timing. It's better to get this right than to get it done on a certain schedule. But that's the proposed schedule. This is a big deal, I think.
Thank you.
Anybody else? So Jeff, you're talking about having Rob just walk us through the pieces again, or what's next here?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. And we can just flash through it. I suspect everyone on this call is digested the draft that we sent out Friday. So maybe we could just highlight the executive session or the executive summary piece what's in there, and then we can show like the first strategy. So you get the flavor of the format and the content, and pause there. We don't want to put you to sleep, and you're going to see it tomorrow in more detail at the full commission meeting.
Would you guys, this is members of the committee, would you like to have Rob go through that, or do you feel like you'd rather wait until tomorrow? I don't want to waste anybody's time, but if this is something that I've seen a few times, and so I'm pretty sure that most of you aren't as familiar. What do you think?
I'm comfortable with your proposed approach, Madam Chair.
Brad's?
Likewise.
Brad's okay. So Jeff, let's just talk about the executive summary really quickly, just to reorient people. It doesn't work for me really to use committee meetings to basically be practice for the, if we're gonna hear this tomorrow, and let's just do a real quick executive summary of what this plan is one more time. I'd like to also know, Nate's been very involved, and Nate is also kind of close to the constituencies that we've been discussing on this call. I'd like to know if he has a comment or not. And then I want to go on to my big question for you guys, because it relates to Jim's question. So agenda item 2. Does that sound okay? Jeff?
Yeah, sorry. I thought you were asking Nate to talk. That's okay.
Let's have Rob go through. So, Rob, you're on deck.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Good to see everyone. So, I'm going to attempt to share my screen. Let's see how successful I am. All right, so just as a check, Jeff, can you see the table of contents of our strategic plan?
Yes.
All right, great. So I think I heard Commissioner Baker, just let me go through the executive summary highlights, and we'll stop there and see if there's any questions or any other guidance you have for me. So just a quick orientation with the table of contents. A couple placeholders up here for our leadership letters. The executive summary really gets to setting the stage, the big picture, what we think we see in the future, the challenges, what we think we need to do to overcome those challenges. And then the rest of the document is really just breaking down 5 strategies we identified as things we need to do better, need to do differently. So just to bring out highlights in the executive summary, our mission's front and center here, a combination of conservation as well as the opportunities we provide. Highlighting the value that fish and wildlife hold for all of us. And the major challenges and stressors we see coming our way with the population growth, development pressure, especially as we do land use decisions, invasive species, changing climate, and all of that. Right now we're seeing declines, you know, in animal abundance and habitats. I'll try and scroll slowly because I've encountered some people get dizzy. But, you know, again, we're looking, how do we stem that rate of loss and change in species and habitat? We're also thinking, and it's not just our current generation, it's future generations. And then over to the left, in one of our call-outs, wanted to highlight the conservation principles we're using to help guide us in our decision-making. And then what we're learning is people's relationships are changing with fish and wildlife. More and more people are expressing values of coexistence, but we still have that core constituency that love to hunt and fish. So we got to find the right balance there. It's going to require us to improve our efforts on better understanding the public values and connecting with them. And I think that's one of the themes you're going to see throughout this strategic plan. Collaboration is a word that I think just permeates in its entirety. We don't have the authority and mandate to do it all. We need help, and there's lots of good help out there we should partner with. Again, this is a long-term focus aimed at improving our mission, and it's 25 years out, and I'll comment that on a little bit later. It does not cover all our work, as I've just heard you acknowledge and recognize, but we've heard comments and concerns about that. So it's a balance we've got to make sure we find where our core work doesn't get lost. And then, here are those five strategies again, and the plan will go in more detail on those. An important part of it is those initial performance measures. How are we going to know whether it's working or not, what adjustments we've got to make, not only for these strategies, but also for the department-wide work. So that's one way we can help make sure we don't lose the core work with these new ideas. In the 25-year timeframe, we've briefed you and multiple times, and you've been part of the discussion on why 25 years. And then we try and summarize, what does right look like in 25 years? And here's some summary bullets with that. You also see for each of the strategies, each one of those five strategies, we've even got a little more detailed list of what we think right would look like in 25 years. So that's really the highlights from the executive summary. So I'm going to stop sharing now and see if there's any questions.
Does anybody have any questions or comments on that? Well then let's, I'd still like to kind of hear from Nate, because he comes at this from a traditional, he's the policy director and comes at this from the traditional stakeholders view. So this is just putting Nate on the spot. This wasn't scripted, but Nate, what are your thoughts?
Thanks, Commissioner. Good morning, everybody. A few thoughts about just to make sure folks aware of the amount of work Jeff has really led over the past year. When Kelly came on board as director, we knew we needed a new strategic plan. The strategic plan that was adopted by the commission for the last biennium was really focused on that 2017 legislative proviso, and just to get the base funding squared away, build connections with stakeholders, and figure out a long-term funding strategy. So this has been a work in progress. Rob and I tag teamed on it for months to a year. And then about a year ago at this time, the director created Jeff's new position and Ron Warren's position. And that's when a baton was passed, and Jeff's been partnering with Rob and others. So Commissioner Baker, my involvement's been more as part of the director's policy team, as well as a supervisor for Kerry, and being available to help strategize on some of the outreach strategies that Jeff and the team have been going through. We've had discussions before, and I guess I get a little bit labeled with the traditional constituency, and yes, I love to hunt and fish, but yesterday morning I spent much of my time watching river otters and bald eagles and ospreys outside my house, and that's incredibly satisfying. So I consider myself a conservationist and like to enjoy all of it. Just from a personal note, I do recognize, though, that as kind of our traditional constituencies review the strategic plan and folks are hearing that feedback of, you know, where's the core body of work that the agency does? And this truly is a strategic plan. It's the shift in what are we going to emphasize going forward? So to help maybe find that balance and to address the comment from Commissioner Anderson, you know, one suggestion for Jeff and the team might may be to even just have a small table in the strategic plan that identifies our core work. And our core work was actually documented and is now approved by OFM through the activities. It's the 8 major activities that all of our funding requests need to be tied to. And in addition, when we submit a funding request, we also need to show how it ties to the strategic plan. So that might be a way to just document, here's where, you know, $500 million is invested on these 8 activities that talk about conserving terrestrial habitats, conserving aquatic habitat, conserving our lands, producing hatchery fish, managing fishing opportunities and hunting opportunities, and our business management obligations. Just to show that, yep, that's it. Here's that list. You know, that work will continue every day. The strategic plan is not a business plan. It truly is. Here's the emphasis that we're going to pursue over the next 25 years. So hope that context helps, but my goodness, Jeff and the team have just done a ton of outreach and bringing this forward with BPAG and meeting with folks with individual. It's really impressive and a good move, I think, by Kelly, by creating this position and really throwing the resources at it, because I otherwise get stretched a little too thin. Thanks, Commissioner.
Thank you, Nate. So do any commissioners have any comments about any of this before we move on? And that also, Jeff, I hope to give you the last word on this agenda item. So let's hear if there's any commissioner input and then return to you and then keep going. Are there any hands up?
My hand's up.
Okay.
I like the idea, Nate, that you brought up with regard to the distinctions between the core that's there, you know, referencing, you know, the budget plan that OFM has signed off on and the like. I think that gives a lot of people something to look at and recognize that the issues haven't been forgotten. You know, I think what happens oftentimes is the new thing or the shorthand gets more attention than the core substance and the like. And so I think we need to engineer, make sure that we don't inadvertently undermine what I agree with, a tremendous amount of work and positive move with regard to the plan. It's just that, you know, people will get lost in the shuffle. And when you're lost in the shuffle, then you, I don't know, you either hunker down and go away or you lash out. So, and you know, we see both. So I think we want people engaged and participatory. Thanks.
Thank you, Jim. Jeff, do you want to bring it home?
Sure. I think that these conversations are super helpful to myself and the team. Commissioner Thorburn, your comment is super helpful too. So where you can, we're not always exposed to the things, the radar that you are. And so Commissioner Anderson, like and grazing piece, like that's not on my radar. And so where you have those specific examples and you can help us think how about some potential solutions, then that really will help us make this a much better draft in the future. And I do think that we are undoubtedly gonna hear a lot from the public, and we will be working on this thing with every comment that comes in. you know, we're sitting down and sorting through them all. And yes, we have a full register of all of them and figuring out, can we start work now so that we don't run into a real problem at the very last second. So any thoughts you have, feel free to shoot them my way, and we'll do the best we can to create solutions around some of the potential challenges that might be coming at us.
Okay. So for agenda item 2, I wanted to raise something that we've talked about before, which is we've talked about the principles of governance. We've talked about the fact that the agency has a conservation plan, but the commission doesn't. And we've talked a lot generally, not about documents, about how our job is to set big policy and not micromanage. And I think there's agreement with that in principle, as far as I know, within the commission. So I was going to tee up at this meeting whether we need to have a principles of governance policy, commission policy. So I started working on one. And what I realized, this is leading to a question for all of us, and it's an open question that I don't have an answer to. But what I'd like to do, Jeff, I ask you to be able to share the screen of the commission policies. Do you have that?
Yeah, hang on.
So while he's doing that, what I realized as I looked at our policy, at our different commission policies, and thought about why there is this conflict and why there is questions about what we do, and to some extent why there are questions that Jim's raising about, so how do we decide how our budget's allocated? So I was looking at the policies, and let me see what I can figure out here. What I realized is, to cut to the chase, so scroll down, there you go, scroll down just a little bit more. Okay, there's our commission policies, there's a list of them. So to cut to the chase, when I looked at this carefully, I saw that we have approximately 32 policies, something like that. Of those, 21 of them are related to fish. One is related to the budget, and it's outdated because it was related to the 2009 budget. There's one habitat policy. There's three wildlife policies of varying degrees of specificity, and there's one conservation policy. So I looked at that and I said, you know what? There's no wonder there's conflict amongst the silos of this agency that we're supposed to be giving overall direction to, because our policies have been related to specific problems, and most of those are fish problems. Now, the other thing that we need to remember is that a lot of our hunting and wildlife policy is done through regulations, so it's not listed in these policies, and that's actually another thing that's kind of interesting to me, but that's a different conversation. So thinking about the strategic plan, what I'm proposing, but I'm not sure if it's a good idea, is that we need all of our top level thinking to work with each other, to be coordinated. What I think is that we need a budget policy that is general, that is much like the one that was set out in 2009, but general. And I'll get back to that one in a second. I believe we do need a conservation policy at the commission level, and it may or may not include principles of governance. And I think that we as the Big Tent Committee might want to look at some of the other big processes, big documents that are supposed to work. They're supposed to delegate, they're supposed to direct our work, and there are many of them. The big one in the wildlife area is the statewide action plan, which is mentioned once in our strategic plan. But the question is, how do these things work together, and how can this commission? What I'm thinking about is that we have taken on a major change in the way we think about our strategic planning. And while we're doing this, should we look at these policies and actually set out some of our elevated thinking on these other issues? Conservation, performance measures, principles of governance, coordinating the various directives that the agency uses and make sure that they work together, and budget, if I didn't say that. That's just my musings. I wonder if you all have given that any thought in the past. Some of you have been on this commission for a long time, and I wonder if some of our newer people have any ideas. And I just want to let you know, I'm going to raise this again after you've had a chance to think about it. But are there any initial thoughts from anyone?
Tim's hand is up.
Go ahead. Nikki, could you go ahead and let just call on people? Because I want to think about what people are saying rather than on running this meeting. Yeah. I wish we were in person for this conversation.
Go ahead, Tim.
So, great thoughts, Barbara. I look at this webpage periodically when I'm curious about policy, and I'm always surprised, like, whoa, we have all the fish policies. We have a policy on this and that. There are sunsets on a number of the policies, and I'm not sure that we sunset them. The ones that we work with a lot, I think staff comes back to us when there's a sunset, you know, that to make revisions. North of Falcon is an example of that. Willapa Bay has a sunset. So there are definitely processes that I think we should put in place in regards to reviewing. Probably all of our policies, as you point out with the budget one, should have sunsets on them, and that can trigger a review for us, whether it's still necessary to have it, what needs to be updated. But I think one thing to talk about is a process about how we approach this. And I agree with you. I think there are areas where we need some policy. So, good conversation. And I think I would be supportive of our committee kind of taking this on, one, to structure a process, and two, to identify some policies that we want to work on.
Yeah, Nikki, can I chime in?
Sure, go ahead, Brad.
The sunset provisions are one thing, and I think it would be good to go through this extensive list and see which one of those does have sunset proviso in it. And also just the incremental creep in the last decade, how many of these came on, or has this been business as usual for 20 years? And on Kim's last point, I think there's areas, if we have one policy on conservation, broadly put, I think there's a gap there as we go forward. So those are a couple of my thoughts.
Anyone else? I was thinking about the sunset provisions as well, and I don't believe our sunsets or our policies sunset without action from us. At least if they do, I haven't seen it. As I looked at these policies, I think we need to actually repeal two of them, which is 4001 and 7001. But I want to make it clear that I'm not talking here about messing with any of the fish policies. I'm not talking about changing policies that we have in place unless they need to be changed otherwise. I mean, obviously we're undergoing several policy reviews right now, but that's not my point. My point is that I see that in terms of our large policy mandate, what we're supposed to be doing, I don't see it reflected here. And so I appreciate these comments. I think what I'll do next is, unless anybody else wants to take this out, what I'll do next is try to put together a little paper and send it to you all. And this is going to be a long process, probably outlive some of us, but I'll put together a paper and send it to you, and we'll get some reactions for our next meeting. One thing I would ask, though, when I talk about the documents that the agency uses to dictate its work, I think there's several of them. I'd like to know what those are, and maybe I'd ask Jeff or Nate or Amy, even Amy, who's really good at this kind of organizational stuff, to just to list them so that we can identify them ourselves, make sure we know what they are, and figure out where they fit in into the outline or the puzzle that we are trying to construct here. Does that work for the rest of you guys? Brad's a yes.
Hey, Barbara, can you just say that one more time? I don't quite understand exactly what you're seeking there. Can you just say it one more time?
Sure. I think I'm going to put down my my thoughts in writing, and because we've had an initial thumbs up from the committee. But what I need, what I'm not sure I know, is the other pieces of work that the agency uses to direct its how things really happen on the ground. The one that I'm most familiar with is the statewide action plan. My guess is there are lots more of those kind of things, or at least several more. And so I just wanted to ask staff to think about that and see if there are more. Because I think that one of the things I'm trying to do is think about policy on a big level, like we've been talking about here, and not siloed. Where are the connections? What's really being done? What is really, what are we really using to direct our work? And how do they all fit together? I don't think I made that any more clear than I did the first time, Amy.
So let me ask a more pointed question then. So there's policies that guide our work. You know, we have agency policies. We could crosswalk the policies that exist at the commission and sort of how those policies are reflected in agency policy. Then there are a whole bunch of plans that guide our work that I don't know if that's what you mean. Like, we have, you know, the game management plans, and we have RCWs around HPAs, and we have all of that other both codified and internal gray literature, if you will, that guides our work. And I'm not thinking that that's what you're asking for. I'm thinking you're asking for more the policy side, or are you actually asking for sort of like the plans, that are internal plans, you know, game management plans and those kinds of things?
Well, the game management plan is one thing. These plans that are to direct us to, it's like they're also future. They have a purpose, and the purpose is usually to protect, perpetuate wildlife, and so the purpose is usually tied to our legislative mandate, which is what we're trying to coordinate with here. I think what I want to do is think about what I'm looking for more, and talk to you offline. And if anybody has questions, what I'm looking for is a ground up Well, we need to get the policies straightened out first, if they're straightening out to do. And then those policies need to be, have the crosswalk is a good word, to what the agency's doing and also to the budget. I mean, I'd like to kind of be able to see an outline of how this all fits together. And I'm not talking about the statutes or any of that. That's obvious. That's on top of everything. But I do want to see if there's a way to visually look at how our plans and our policies work together. But we don't even have the policies done yet, so. I'm looking at a bunch of people kind of smiling wryly. Don's hands up.
Okay, well, let me just say, I support your concept here of taking a look at the policy business. The agenda item on our agenda talks about the conservation policy and governance things. And what you're saying is when you looked at that, maybe because we're a big tent, we ought to take the big tent look at these all these policies. The budget policy comes to mind right away, as you noted there. And we have budget business on our agenda tomorrow. And so if you take a look at this budget policy, which was built for the last time there was a big reduction, some of those principles might be fine. Like, if you're going to go big, don't just go across the board. But a lot of that stuff obviously is tailored for back then and needs a new fresh look. So I'm supportive of you writing down what you talked about as a way to take a look underneath the big tent at all this policy business, try to pick out which ones seem to be obsolete and get a more organized approach. You started this with kind of redoing the conservation policy and principles of governance, which is something that's that you've been strong on for a long time. So in the end, this gets back to that. So I would just urge you when you write this up to maybe tie in a little bit about how that ends up coming into play for all of these policies. And there's a couple of policy statements that were scrolled past at the top, one on wolves and one on pinnipeds too. So there's a lot there. And the sunsetting business, I wasn't familiar with until I saw that in the staff summary for the Columbia River plan, which has a sunset that's coming up here real quick. And I had missed that. I didn't see that apparently in all the language. But I thought sunset meant sunset, not sunset and continue until changed. So there's a piece of confusion for me. So all in all, I'm supporting you writing down your thoughts and kicking this down the road a little bit so that it doesn't get dropped.
Go ahead, Jim.
Hello?
Nikki, are there hands up?
Yeah, I had my hand up and then I put it down, but you know, I think what would be helpful to me is you know, if you're coming into this situation as a commissioner, as one of nine commissioners like I did this last year, with not a whole lot of specific experience with the department and the commission, it would be very useful to have kind of the broad parameter kind of management, or that may be the wrong term because of the difference between the department and the commission, but kind of the policy framework by which the commission does business on a very broad level. What are we looking at and for? You know, I think a lot of these policies are a hybrid between the administration, if you will, the department's management function and the policy oversight. But I think there's another level that I think you're talking about that would be important to give context to everything underneath, if that makes any sense. I don't see us ever, frankly, not having policies on fish, for instance, or there's a reason they're there and that they're complicated, that they're numerous, and couldn't roll those back if we wanted to, frankly. But I do think some of the broader things would be very helpful. So.
Thanks. Is there anybody else who has a comment? we can talk about this more later. I sort of dumped it on you. So if there are no further comments on that, the third thing that I just wanted to ask is, as members of this committee, the strategic plan and now this discussion that we just had has basically been taking most of our time. There was a big tech committee before we started that, and I can't remember what we used to do. So I wonder if I wanted to ask members of the committee if there are any things that you want on this agenda going forward, either, you know, suggest now whether we're missing things that we should be thinking about, or always let me know, because I will, if anybody wants to talk about anything, it's going to get on our agenda. So I just want to make sure members of this committee knew that. In closing, I'd like to say that, Nate, I really liked your idea about the aid activities and the $500 million sort of being referenced somewhere in the strategic plan. I hope you and Jeff will talk about that. And I wanted to say that one thing, when we listen to the, so I'm back to the strategic plan now. I forgot to say something earlier. There was a call earlier this week with a whole bunch of advisory committees, and most of the staff that are listening were on the call. It was a large call on the strategic plan. Two things were said that that interested me. I listened. I didn't participate. There was a lot said, and we could talk about that later. But one thing is that the one concern about this plan that I've heard over and over and over is that the performance measures need to be sharpened up considerably. And Jeff and Nate and Rob, Carrie McCausland are all working on doing that. They're actually going to take a month to spend on the performance measures. So as you read this, just know that that is happening. I think that's a very good call. The other thing I wanted to ask you about, it gets back to this concept, is kind of old as new again. A couple of people suggested that one of the things that we should do is have regional advisory committees. And this is formal regional advisory committees. First off, I don't know if we have them or not at the staff level, at the agency level. And second off, my region 6, we have, and that's actually Jim's region 2, I think. We have some things that are specific to just us that I try to know about. And then obviously all the normal problems that the agency has across the state. But I wanted to just tee up for another thought, whether we as commissioners should have some sort of a process where we meet with our regions on a formal basis a couple of times a year. And I just wanted to throw that out. That was something that people asked for on that call. And I'd love to hear if there's any initial response, or that'll be another thing that I'll be thinking about and talking to staff about. I hate these calls. Anybody have any response to that?
Yeah, what do you mean by meet with regions? We in Eastern Washington are meeting with regional staff. Are you thinking setting up some sort of public meetings or?
Well, it's not what I mean. This is, so Kim, you're a great example of this. You are out and meeting with people a lot more than I am in terms of a regional approach to your job. This wasn't my suggestion. This is a suggestion that came out of the call the other day with a whole bunch of different groups that advise us, the advisory committees. So that's actually part of the question. So I'm thinking about this in the context of another thing that we'll be talking about as a big commission, which is that a whole bunch of people want us to have what they call, you know, town halls, mostly, I think, on North of Falcon. A huge town hall on North of Falcon, my perspective is that would be hard to manage. But what I'm realizing, the difference between what we do in a town hall at our commission meetings is that we really don't give people time to have a conversation with us or to ask questions on any on any formal or scheduled way. I go out to the region and look at the Point No Point, or I look at Willapa Bay on occasion, or I go out to the headquarters, but I don't give the people who live in my region an ability to talk to me. I don't even know if that's proper or not, but I think that's what the people on the call the other day were asking for. And Jeff, please correct me if I'm if I've got that wrong. So it's just a thought. It's just a thought about more work, and this job is a lot of work already. So I just wanted you to hear the thought, because I heard the thought and it made some sense to me.
Yes, can you hear me?
Sure, Don.
Yeah, so let me just say that last part that you just mentioned is an important factor. It's more work. I think it's a good idea that comes from the folks to spend more time with the regional folks. The couple of field trips that I've been on have been very useful to me. And now, because I'm not muted, you can hear phones ringing and my laptop going off at the same time. So welcome to my world. They'll quit before too long, I hope. We could also, I'll just pause for a moment here. Okay.
Not real
soon. So we not fast enough. Could also hear from regional advisory bodies that they would like us to come to those. I mean, there are several on the Columbia River that I've yet to come to that have frequent meetings, and that would be probably a good educational opportunity for commissioners as well. You know, there's Columbia River Compacts, there's North of Falcon, there's Pacific Council meetings. All of this stuff is out there. And if we were all full-time folks, then it would be beneficial to do that. But there is a limit here when you consider the burden already of the commission meetings and preparing for those and all that we're already doing. So I'm not going to object to the idea as a good one. I think it should be opportunistic to the particular commissioners who have how much time to spend on this, that, or the other thing. It's a good idea, but boy, if this ended up with something where we need to schedule regional meetings once a month or once a quarter, then that would be an awkward thing to try to manage for time. And so I'll just put my two cents in on the workload part of it, not to object to it, but if it gets to the big tent making a recommendation for something solid beyond opportunistic, I don't know that I'll, I mean, I have rarely gone to the Regional 5 office to talk to those folks, and I should have done more of that. And I would like to be on more field trips, but anyway, it's there's only so much time in the day.
Barbara, I can chime in.
Sure, and Brad, was that you just then?
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead. Sure.
Yeah, I think it's important on a regional basis to get out. I concur, having a structured meeting on a quarterly or bi-monthly basis wouldn't necessarily achieve, I think, what we're looking at here. But I tried to get out with the staff, as Amy can attest to when she was regional director up here. And I go out on the enforcement boat once a year. I do a tour with the land officers as well, and I think it's good to get out there and talk, and also a meeting with groups. I make myself available for lunch meetings with various regional environmental conservation whatever groups. it's not a highly structured format, but I think just letting the public know that you are here, and if they do wish to contact you, and also the staff, that they're free to do so. It's been a very good relationship, and I've learned a lot, and I think that's important for what we do, is to continually be learning, especially from the staff, what is going on in the region. My two cents.
All right, well, let's just finish this with Jeff. Jeff's just sent us a chat that is telling us what he thinks they were talking about. So let's finish with that and have a few minutes before the Wildlife Committee. We will adjourn soon. Jeff.
Oh, I put what I needed to say in the chat. So basically, my understanding from that a conversation that we had with the advisory groups, and I don't know how many of them weighed in around this comment that they made during that session, but I think they were really talking.
There's the cliffhanger. Are you back, Jeff?
You're froze.
Is it Jeff froze or me froze?
Jeff froze.
Yeah, you're good now, Barbara.
Well, it was good for me to be frozen. Jeff was the one talking. Did he finish?
No, he's frozen from all of us. None of us can hear him.
Yeah,
it's also good to know that those of us out in the rural areas that get attacked by this virus of the internet, it happens elsewhere too. That's good. Maybe that's not good. That's bad.
You guys are a great group to have on this committee. We can talk about these things later. I'll report to the full commission tomorrow. Would love to have you help me with that. And let's just go ahead with our morning and adjourn this committee. Is there any objection?
No.
Okay. All right. We'll see you guys pretty soon, or some of you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.